we're back. Coastal Windage here, the talk of the coast. Ruben Truthmaker here with Libby Streetwise. Coastsiders, give us a call. 650-560-9851 is the number. 560-9851. Libby, I'm totally excited. You know I live for baseball.
Yes.
Love Little League. And we've got a baseball guy here with you.
Awesome.
Cody Silvera from Birdman Bats. Cody, welcome.
How's it going, Ruben?
Great, great. Thank you for coming in this early morning. I don't know about you, but this is the crack of dawn for me, so I'm always thrilled when somebody else can drag themselves out of bed at 9:20. Exactly.
Yeah.
Cody, first question for you. Is batmaker the correct title for one who makes bats, or is there a fancier term like batoniero or something like that?
I wish there was something more fancy. I think batmaker is about it. Batonier or whatever you just said sounds a lot better to me, though.
Batoniero. Well, we'll work on that. We'll work on trademarking that, and you know, we'll give that one to Birdman. So Cody, tell us a little bit about Birdman Bats. How did this company get started?
Well, actually, CEO Gary Malik was making them out of his garage in 2011, just for fun, for myself and his little brother, who was playing college baseball. He would make them out of his garage by hand on a hand-turned lathe, and there was always the Birdman on it, and the quirkiness kind of started from there. It was always a good luck charm, in my opinion.
What is the Birdman that you're referencing there for those of us who, for those out there who can't see it? I've got a bat right here right now.
So picture the body of an ostrich or emu with a man's head on it. And when I mean a man's head, think of a old school 1920s baseball player with that goofy mustache, kind of like a Raleigh Fingers mustache.
Yep.
And that. So an emu mixed with a 1920s baseball player, if that makes any sense to anybody.
And this is kind of your company logo.
Yes.
Yes.
And it started from there. And that was a doodle done by the CEO's little brother. Specifically, in his doodle book, he was an art student who also played baseball. And the bat was made for him because, like all baseball players, we all go through slumps, struggles, and stressed out times. And that was kind of it was the relieving to stress, really. Look at that goofy emu chicken bird fixture, and you might crack a smile at the plate. And that was the whole point of it. And it
nice. I like that.
It went from there.
So he was making these bats on a hand, making these bats on a lathe in his garage.
Mm-hmm.
How did he make the jump? First of all, what made him think that there was a market where he could actually form a company and sell enough wooden bats to make this a viable entity? I mean, that leap is a vision that I just don't have. Like, where did he get that idea?
Through actually a good friend, Lars Anderson, who was a top prospect in the Boston organization. He's from the Sacramento area, and we met him through a mutual friend through an adult league in baseball. And he came by, was just hanging out, and, Gary, you got to make me one of those bats for spring training. He did, and Lars fell in love with it. Not only did Lars fall in love with it, but his teammates did too. And that's when Gary started getting calls from likes of people like Manny Ramirez, Ryan Kalish, who's also a part of the company now, who's won two World Series rings with Boston Red Sox and Chicago Cubs, which is like there's only four players, I think, ever to have both those rings.
I know, like if this was, you know, 10 years ago, well, I guess Boston won a 2000. If this was 20 years ago and you were having this conversation, that would have been a laughable statement. Oh, right, there. One that Boston and Chicago won the World Series, and then there's a guy that played on both of those teams. Like, that just, you know, people have gone entire lifetimes without those teams winning. How could this be? And now this guy has a ring from both of those two franchises. I mean, that's almost Hall of Fame worthy right there. Like, that that guy, you know. All right. And also, I guess, who's the GM for Chicago, Theo Epstein? He's a genius as well. Okay. So I read the website, so you've been able to, with the Kickstarter program, upgrade your equipment. You got a facility in South San Francisco, I believe, now, and so you're able to make up about 400 bats a week?
Yeah, actually, we could make more. That would probably be about, that's a really busy week, but we can definitely hit upwards of 100 a day if we really push it.
Wow.
I'll go in there by myself, and I can crank upwards of 50 to 70 just kind of by myself in there.
Wow.
Because things can run really smoothly. We finally knocked our machine in and got a lot of wood. That's the also big thing is having the right wood. And
yeah, it's something you don't really think about.
Right.
Like, you know, what do you just go down to?
Mostly.
probably birch. This one is maple.
Yep.
For the kids, we do like to use maple a little bit more just because we have actually more of it. And it comes like game ready. It comes broken in. Birch actually is a little more porous, and it has like a breaking in period.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be harder for a kid to like get it really broken in, you know, as an adult swinging over 100 miles an hour, pitching with 100 miles an hour. That wood's going to break in a little bit easier. That makes any sense?
So can I ask a question really fast?
Because
I know that this is your bailiwick, Ruben. But I'm interested because it seems like the company started in more of a purist way and maybe even a little cathartic. And it's, you know, people find things that calm their anxiety, and I feel like maybe that was the beginning of the making of this bat, like you were explaining. So now that there are all these systems in place to make the bats, do you sometimes go out of your way to take the time to maybe do one yourself an old school way versus putting it through all the machines and doing all of that? Or because, you know, you do get them, there's the volume piece, and then there's the, okay, I'm just going to make my own special bat, not let anyone touch it kind of thing.
Well, no, I definitely have my own special bats. I have dreams and wake up with color schemes that I have to put on my bat. So I do have that, but I still sand them by hand. So there's still that aspect of I'm touching my bat, or even a major leaguer's bat, or even his bat. I sanded this bat, you know, for him. And that aspect of it is we're still doing a lot by hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think my friend did make one for a kid had asked for it and paid for it to come and make a custom bat by hand. And they did it, and they had a lot of fun doing it. But it's just, it's really laborious to make it by hand.
Yeah, I bet. You know, it's not the same thing, but my dad is, just one of his passions is surf fishing. And so for a number of birthdays or Father's Day, a friend of my sister's and mine who was a carpenter actually would hand make him fishing rods and would take, you know, I don't know how long it took him, a month or two. He makes furniture now.
Yeah.
But it's a fine-tuned art to do, to be a woodworker and carpenter and my dad still has those rods, you know, 20, 30 years later. And so I totally appreciate this.
Yeah.
Critical question, though, Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to make me hit better? That's what I need.
We actually
call them, some hits in it.
We call them PEBs, performance enhancing bats. So
that's just what you need.
Right. Is that legal?
I mean, exactly.
Is there cork in this thing? No. Okay. What's the ceiling on a wooden bat company? I mean, do you see yourself? I mean, I imagine the business model is to increase your clientele in the major leagues, and then. But are you going to expand into, you know, batting gloves, helmets, hitting pads, fielding gloves?
Yeah, I mean, the other companies have expanded into realms like that. We do actually, because we hit ourselves. We've always wanted to make our own batting gloves and our own grips.
Grip taping.
All sorts of things. I wouldn't say fielding gloves, because that is really controlled by two companies, and that is the one market that is insanely hard to break.
Wow.
But batting gloves, even like, you know, we do T-shirts, as you know, hats.
We have one in our house,
And those do really well, and that kind of stuff, even maybe sunglasses, you know, for the field or anything like that, we do love. And anything we can put the Birdman logo on, we'll do it.
Great. Now, Cody, you're a local guy, right? Tell me about that.
Yeah, I grew up in Moss Beach, went to Half Moon Bay High, played in Half Moon Bay Little League my whole life, and still live in Moss Beach.
Oh, that's one of the reasons that we wanted to have you on the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love baseball and a local guy here, and you've got this company that really is an exciting, fun company. The Truthmaker household did order a bat
for my child.
He's been using it in his Little League games. It's a really well-balanced piece of equipment. And the thing that I love about it, when I was a kid, you couldn't get these kind of customized bats. You might get a wooden bat that was one color, and it would just say, you know, the name of the company up here in the on the barrel. this bat, in addition to the customized label, which is you can choose from, I think, about 5 or 10 different designs for the actual Birdman label. It has the Birdman bat's name on the barrel, and then via computer program, you can have your name or whoever's name you want on there engraved in a signature style. So it looks like a pro bat. And I brought another pro bat here. Of course, it only has block letters. It doesn't have the signature style of a bat I collected when I was a child of Bat Boy in spring training. But this bat would be, it had been something that as a kid I would have just killed for. So it's really exciting. And I'm seeing a lot of these bats at Smithfield right now. Let's go to a break right now. Cody, can you stick around for a few more minutes on the
absolutely.
Flip side?
I'd love to.
Okay, great. We'll be back in 2 minutes with Cody Silvera from Birdman Bats. Give us a call, Coastsiders, 560-9851. I know you have questions for Cody. We'll be right back.
We've all heard the term coffee break. What comes to mind when you hear that phrase? Grabbing a quick cup and rushing back to the business of work or life? No. You want to take a granola's break. Enjoy the best coffee, tea, or hot chocolate on the coast. And you'll take your granola's break in a living room environment. Comfy sofas and chairs, just the place for a visit with friends. If you want a bite to eat, they have amazing baked goods, including breakfast sandwiches and the only coffee house featuring a large assortment of gluten-free baked goods. Granola's Coffee House is located on Highway 1, next to BK Motors. Check them out online. GranolasCoffeeHouse.com.
We used typewriters back then, and whiteout for corrections, and carbon paper for copies. We had to have patience then. We didn't multitask. Doing one thing at a time seemed appropriate. But I guess you can sort of listen to a play, and sort of send a message, and sort of play a video game all at once. It must be wonderful. I know I sound like a crank, but I don't like change.
The Coastal Repertory Theater presents Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike, a comedy about three dysfunctional siblings and how one weekend at their family home alters their lives and relationships. Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike runs through April 29th. Performances at 8 p.m. on Friday and Saturdays, Sunday matinees at 2 p.m. Tickets available by visiting CoastalRep.com. Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike through April 29th at the Coastal Repertory Theater, Half Moon Bay.
And we're back. This is Ruben Truthmaker with Livy Streetwise on Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. We're here with Cody Silvera of Birdman Bats. If you've got some questions for Cody about bats or baseball or anything actually that's on your mind, Cody might have an answer for you. Give us a call, 560-9851. So, Cody, it seems like there's a resurgence in wooden bats. I know that National Little League changed their rules this past year. In the past, and as when I was a kid, aluminum bats, metal bats were just kind of coming into popularity, and that was the thing. Everybody wanted a, you know, aluminum bat. And over the ensuing 30 years, the technology got more and more, and these bats got super loaded and super, just the amount of pop off these bats. And now it seems that they're too powerful, and kids are getting hurt, I guess, with line drives. And so National Little League has really restricted metal bats down to just a couple of different models. Did you and Humba, which is another local bat, are you guys the wooden bat cabal that has put down aluminum bats for your own benefit? How has this affected Birdman?
Very well, actually. Our influx of orders have come a lot after the, a good word, dumbing down of the bats. They did the same thing in college. As soon as I got to college, they did the same thing. The bats were too lively. They were coming off really hot off the plate, and kids were getting hurt. Not only that, kids were getting hurt, but for scouts and for going on to the future, it actually wasn't giving a true reading of how the player would hit. You could kind of reach out, poke a home run, and you see that a lot, actually, in the Little League World Series. You see these, like, home runs that are going over 30, 40, 50, 60
yes.
feet over the fence, and they're little kids, and it's just not, it doesn't look right. It kind of almost looks like a fake game at that point when home runs are flying like that. So I think the dumbing of the bats were good, but everyone's saying from our feedback is that wood bats actually have a smaller sweet spot, but a better sweet spot. And we really like hearing that. And honestly, at the Little League stages, kids, because they're not throwing 90 and they're not swinging over 100 miles an hour, you're not going to have the broken bat issues that everyone seems to worry about. So, yeah.
And speaking of the sound, for me as an old school guy and a baseball guy, there's nothing sweeter than the sound of a wooden bat smacking a ball. There's that crack of the bat.
Yeah.
It's not the ping of the bat. It's the crack of the bat, and there's a reason why that's the saying, because that just that snap, that pop off a wooden bat.
I agree. Before you got here, I was saying that I've always been a purist, that I had my grandfather was friends with Babe Ruth, and
I know,
would have, like,
she just drops this on me now, like,
right?
He used to come over to the house and stuff. Are you kidding me?
You gotta, like,
I never met him. I mean, this is before my time, but, you know, I have always enjoyed sports at its purest form, and I was saying I'd like to see tennis come back with wooden rackets, to be honest.
How about Birdman wooden tennis rackets?
There you go.
Seriously, I think that would be a great model, because I don't think between the tight strings and the titanium and graphite, I don't know, maritage of things that they put together here, that it's not a true representation of the skill level of the person. And I was even going as far as saying, go back to wooden clubs for golf. Like,
that's really all my golf game needs. I'm already, you know, knocking it way out there to 175 yards off the tee. Now you want me to go down to 100?
Well, that's why they changed to Augusta. They had to change it because the clubs got so good. Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know if you heard about that, but that's because it's such an old school course. They were built with wooden, you know, the course was built with wooden shaft golf clubs. So it does happen, and it's cool that they make a change at least and try to make it a little more difficult.
Well, speaking of skill level, so, you know, I first met you out at Smith Field. You were about to go to spring training. This was in February. You were, you know, marketing the bats to the little leaguers, but you had told me at the time you were on your way to spring training to try to get into the major league market. In addition to Lars and Ryan and Manny, who is now, I think he's playing in an independent league, Manny Ramirez, former Indian and Red Sox slugger. Who are some other major leaguers that you've got in the pipeline or that you're trying to get or that maybe you've already delivered bats to?
Actually, it's so funny you mentioned that. The next morning after opening day at Half Moon Bay Little League, I was at Dodgers camp and talking to Rich Hill. He's the first guy that stopped. Really nice guy. Really, really friendly. And a Rolls Royce pulls up. And to myself, I was like, that's got to be Puig. It's got to be. And sure enough, he
got Yasiel Puig, outfielder for the Dodgers.
Yeah, most of you probably are not too big of a fan, but he pulls up in his Rolls Royce in the fire lane, leaves it, you know, unlocked, throws the keys in.
Kind of reminds me of the scene from Major League.
Yeah.
Oh, Charlie
Mays,
Sheen.
Yes.
Willie Mays Hayes pulls up in his limo.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yes, absolutely. And he leaves it, and we're all laughing, like Rich Hill, Lars, Gary, and I. But guess who stops? He stops right away, says hello, grabs one of our bats, and we're like, you like that? He's like, yeah, and loves it, went and swung BP with it, and took a picture with us, was actually a really friendly guy. And so for that persona he puts on, he's actually a really nice guy.
Cool.
Well, I really hope that it takes fire because, you know, Steve Jobs used to talk about his vision for Apple being the fusion of design and technology, and to me, these bats are similar. I mean, and so Apple has this cachet, this design cachet, and their products are so sleek and so just appealing. And I feel the same way about these bats. And I really think that major leaguers, because one of the marketing points that you made on your website is that when you look at bats, and I've got one here from former A's outfielder Mitchell Page. It's just a single color. It's pretty boring. And there's not much to it. There's not much variation. When you look at bats that major leaguers are using now, there's maybe there's two different colors. Maybe there's a bat that's a bicolor. But the colors and the designs that Birdman is offering, I think, is really going to appeal to today's athlete, today's ball player that's looking for that individualization. And the colors are just amazing. And
they are. That one's really nice. What are the can you share what the price points are for these?
Yeah, they go upwards of $150 on our website, which is, I know it seems like a lot, but what we were talking about, metal bats run upwards. which is 400.
Yeah, that doesn't
ridiculous.
Sound so bad.
Yeah, no, these are. Sorry, Cody. Go
no,
ahead.
No,
these are well worth it.
And you do get full customization, like you said. You get to put your name on it. You can do whatever you want with it at that price point. We also do, you know, for Little League bats, it runs 90 to 100, mm-hmm. and there's stock options where you can get something plain if you want it. Because there are old school guys that do like their bat literally fresh off the lathe with no finish on it. And people like that, and that's fine. So it kind of ranges with price. We also do trophy bats.
Uh-oh, that goes into our why.
I know. But for it's good for weddings and stuff like that, not necessarily
okay.
for participation.
Okay.
You can use it for, you know, a coach's gift or a wedding gift was good for
yep.
groomsmen, that sort of thing.
Nice. Well, speaking of marketing, so this is Wooden Bat Week for Half Moon Bay Little League. Is Birdman planning anything for that week with
yeah.
Half Moon Bay Little League?
Yeah, actually tomorrow I'm going to be having a booth pretty much all day at Half Moon Bay Little League. I'll be right next to the Snack Shack, so come on by if you guys are down there. Get your wooden bats, and you'll hear us by the crack of the bat. Just follow the crack of the bat.
Nice. I love that. One more plug for this company, and I'm not trying to plug them, but when I come across a company that does things right, I really like to highlight that. And one of the things, you know, the customization options available, but also the customer service. So I ordered this bat at the field for my son, and Cody followed up with me several times via email and phone about different customization options during the process, and then delivered it to my front door.
And I have to tell you, so customer service these days across the board is lacking. So that is very much appreciated, because I used to be in retail, and the first thing we learned is, you know, you do whatever you can for the customer. And so what service you're providing is rare.
Hand-delivered to my
very, yeah. very nice. Yeah.
And my son couldn't have been more happy.
That's awesome.
I mean, he was, when is my bat? I said, well, we'll have to pick it up in the field. And then, boom, there it was.
And you can't put a price tag on that, to be honest.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Do you want to share the website?
Yes, the website, www.birdmanbats.com. Cody Silvera is the name of the gentleman that's going to be at the field tomorrow. He's the person that's here with us right now. Cody, really want to thank you. He'll be at Smithfield tomorrow all day. Go and check out the bats, even if you don't buy one, which I think once you see one, even if you don't even have a kid that's playing,
yeah,
I'm thinking about getting one for myself, and I haven't hit a hard ball in 30 years, and even then there wasn't much hitting going on. But these are beautiful bats, wonderful company. Cody, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Ruben. Thank you, Livy.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Good time.
Good luck with the company. All right. All right, we're going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to run through the Half Moon Bay smoking policy and maybe get to participation trophies. That may have to wait until
Whoa,
next week.
I need at least 30 minutes, Ruben.
I know. I hear you. Okay, we'll be right back. This is Coastal Windage. Give us a call, 560-9851.
What's blue and white and saves you time? More for Less on the corner of Kelly Avenue and Highway 1. Whether you're on your way to work, running around town, or visiting the coast for the first time, treat yourself to More for Less. Easy in and out, and great items inside, including fresh coffee all day, snacks, sweets, soda, beer and wine, and more. Lotto tickets, scratchers, greeting cards, pet food, and even oil for your car. Stop in today and fill up. Go inside and see for yourself all the goodies inside More for Less. And don't forget your propane. Remember, stop, look, and save at More for Less in Half Moon Bay today.
Hello, this is Keith from Coastside Hope, and I'm on the air today to thank you for your generous support and to give you the scoop on the annual Coastside Gives event. The 2018 Coastside Gives Collaborative Fundraising Day is Tuesday, May the 1st. This year, there are 36 worthy Coastside nonprofits participating, including Coastside Hope. Coastside Gives is exciting because there are challenge grants and prizes to be earned, so your donation could be doubled or more. Remember, Coastside Gives is Tuesday, May the 1st. You can help Coastside Hope earn $8,000 in matching grants and thousands more in prizes simply by donating online at coastsidegives.org/coastsidehope. So please, give where you live and support Coastside Hope by donating online at coastsidegives.org coastsidehope. That's coastsidegives.org/coastsidehope. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.
Okay, Coastal Windage with Ruben Truthmaker and Libby Streetwise. The other dude's still out on his fact-finding tour. He'll be back probably next week.
Well, that was super fun.
Yes, Cody Silvera from Birdman Bats.
Great guest.
Totally. This is why we love doing our Shooting the Breeze live interview segment. We get to know people in the community and what's going on. And this Birdman Bats company is really fun. Again, the product... When I find a product in a company that really nails it,
mm-hmm.
it makes me happy.
Yeah.
Because most of the stuff out there is just junk. And that's not really the word I wanted to use, but it's radio, so
well, you
it's
call
junk.
It as you see it, Ruben.
I do. All right, let's get into the vaping, Half Moon Bay smoking policy. I don't know if we even have enough time for this. It's a story that drips with irony in the sense that there's been all this talk about cannabis, commercial cannabis, and how's that going to look on the coast side, and are we going to allow retail sales? Are we just going to allow growing? All of this discussion about what the policy is going to be for cannabis,
mm-hmm.
and it turns out that Half Moon Bay has no policy whatsoever of any policy with regard to smoking in general.
The vape.
Vaping,
okay.
Tobacco, smoking of any kind. In January, the American Lung Association slapped an F, that's a F, on Half Moon Bay for its failure to have any smoking-related policies or ordinances.
See that in the marketing material from the Chamber of Commerce.
Right. Now, okay, in their defense, Half Moon Bay is not alone. Roughly half the cities in the state of California received a failing grade.
Nice.
The spokeswoman for the American Lung Association said of Half Moon Bay, quote, "There are steps needed to be taken by local officials." Now, categories they looked at included smoke-free outdoor areas, smoke-free housing, and reducing sales of tobacco products. Half Moon Bay received a failing grade in each of these categories because, again, it has no policies for any of these categories. It doesn't even have a policy in place requiring permits for tobacco product retailers.
Well, okay, so I just have to say, I mean, that speaks loud and clear when we allow a discount cigarette place in Strawflower Village over a Jamba Juice. Somehow the cigarettes won out over juicing. I mean, that is just irony to the nth degree, and it's pathetic and disappointing.
Well, that store is pretty jarring when I look at it.
Ah.
It doesn't seem like it goes there. When you think that, there used to be a Jamba Juice there, and now there's a, discount
gross.
Cigarette
it's
place.
Gross. And it's within a stone's throw of the high school.
Right.
And, I mean, I just think it's irresponsible. It's absolutely irresponsible for us to have that there. Anyhow, it's...
Now, the city has tried to take up the issue of a smoking policy before. As recently as 2016, it was on the agenda. But somehow, some way, there were other things that were always more important.
Yeah.
And so now that it's gotten this F from the American Lung Association, the city... I guess is going to take some action. We'll get to
that. Where was that publicized?
That was in the Half Moon Bay Review.
It was in the Review.
It was in the Review, yep. Now, here's the reason why we are kind of punching the idea that there is no policy on smoking in Half Moon Bay, and that is because, well, cigarette smoking has always been a problem, but it seemed like it was going down. The problem was not as bad as it used to be, but there's a new sinister element on the scene, and that is vaping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is from the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse website, the CASA website. Vaping is the act of inhaling and exhaling aerosol, often referred to as vapor, hence vaping, which is produced by an e-cigarette or similar device. Generally, a vaping device consists of a mouthpiece, a battery, a cartridge for containing the e-liquid or e-juice, that just sounds gross, and a heating component for the device that is powered by a battery. When the device is used, the battery heats up the heating component, which turns the contents of the e-liquid into an aerosol that is inhaled into the lungs and then exhaled. Gosh, that just sounds
there
delicious.
There is not one bit of that sounds appealing.
Hold on, it gets better.
Oh.
The e-liquid in vaporizer products usually contains a propylene glycol or vegetable glycerin-based liquid with nicotine, flavoring, and other chemicals and metals, but not tobacco. Now, some people use these devices to vape THC, which is the active ingredient in marijuana. In addition, so the vaping children.
Yes.
Tobacco companies are now marketing increasingly cynical and dangerous vaping products to children and other potential new smokers. These vaping devices are now designed to look like pens, thumb drives, asthma inhalers, and iPod music players. You know, we do our due diligence, so we went on a fact-finding mission ourselves. At one shop that we visited, the salesperson showed us one model that he said was touted by a customer who, quote, used it at rehab right in front of the counselor, unquote.
Well, that's a selling point.
A stunning testimonial, yes, exactly. Particularly notorious is the Juul device, J-U-U-L, a slim USB chargeable e-cig, notorious for its flavors like creme brulee and cool cucumber. I can't even say these flavors. It has now even become a verb to be Juulin. Go, let's go Juulin. I did a Google search on Juulin, and the third item on the Google search is a YouTube video titled, How to Hide and Use Your Juul in School.
You know what? I have to say, you know, I think we've done a number of programs, and the underlying tone is how difficult it is to be a kid these days. Well, I have to tell you, it is really damn difficult to be a parent these days. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, a cop 24/7. And when there's all of this going on, I mean, how can you not? I mean, we have to protect our kids from so many other things that weren't even... we didn't have access to when we were young.
Well, you know what might help us would be some kind of smoking ordinance or policy from the city of Half Moon Bay.
True. But you know what? I really do feel like kids are going to do what they want to do, and they might have to hide it. And it makes me nervous. It makes me nervous that they're marketing to the kids and making it these flavors that they'll like.
Yeah, have you seen that one commercial? It's a disturbing commercial. They have a bunch of, like, five-year-olds.
Yes.
I think 5 or 6-year-olds, and they've got these packages of these vaping products,
yep,
these flavored oils, and the packaging looks exactly like what you would get at Halloween.
Yep.
Brightly colored, you know, metal foil, purples and greens, with, yep, flavors like, you know, crusted black cherry and, you
grape
know,
and bubble
sour,
gum and
sour apple, and, you know, those kinds of things. I mean, the cynicism of, like, that is directly marketed at children. All right, well, Half Moon Bay heard the Lung Association, and they are now working on a smoking ordinance, and they've issued two different surveys. At the end of March, they issued two different surveys to kind of get some public input on this.
This requires a survey? We need to...
Two surveys.
Wow.
One is for residents in multifamily dwelling units, and one is for everybody else, because you think, well, smoking policy, no, it's not that easy. For example, equity is an issue, as is free will. Questions: should a person living in a single-family dwelling be allowed to smoke in their house? If it's just them and it's in their house and it's a single-family dwelling,
unattached. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. But if so, is that fair to a person living in a multifamily dwelling who wants to smoke? Just because of the place you live, you're not allowed to do this activity? Just rhetorical. Is it fair for a smoker who lives in a multifamily dwelling to expose other residents to secondhand smoke? I think I know how we all feel about that.
Yeah.
How about this, though? If one can't smoke in public and can't smoke in their own home, where would it be legal to smoke? And if there's no legal place to smoke, how can retail tobacco sales even be allowed?
Well, that, I mean, I see people smoking in their car all the time because I think
that's
that's the only place they can go. And honestly, I see that almost as being becoming an open container law kind of thing. Because how are cops going to not know that that isn't pot? How, you know, I mean, if they see smoke billowing from the window and they're driving. So I think that that's like the last bastion for smokers. I mean, you're going to find them in the woods.
Or huddled out of that one door, you know, in your building at work, you know, the sad lot that, you know, the leftovers from a time gone past.
I don't know what the answer is there, but I do think that any public space should be off limits.
Yeah, well,
absolutely.
Again, there's no policy in Half Moon Bay.
Yeah.
So, again, as we started this segment, given the city's apparent interest in commercial cannabis, it seems only prudent and responsible to develop and implement a set of policies regulating a substance that is already in the community first before it sets about introducing another controversial substance.
Definitely.
So I think I'm not a resident of Half Moon Bay, so I can't vote on these issues, but it would seem to me as a resident of the Coast Side, I have a child that goes to school in Half Moon Bay. I enjoy being in the city and frequenting the businesses and whatnot. I would like to see some. I think it's only the responsible thing to do for the city to come up with some kind of smoking policy before it gets into the cannabis business.
I agree.
Now, you, listeners, you can get a copy of the Half Moon Bay surveys at City Hall, the Ted Adcock Community Center, and the Half Moon Bay Library. These surveys are due on May 1st. All right, we have barely any time because we had such a great interview with Cody.
I think you did this on purpose because you know how I ramble.
Well, but I think I share your feeling on this, on participation trophies. But, yeah, we went long with Cody Silvera of Birdman Bats, but that's fine.
Well worth it.
Yeah, when we do the Shooting the Breeze live interview segment, that's what the show is about.
A little disappointing we didn't get any calls, though, I have to say. We were ready.
We'll probably get calls next week on this one. That's fine. Why participation trophies? We'll start on this. We may have to take this up again next week. Okay, so does this devalue the idea of trophies in general?
I mean,
if you give one to everybody, what are you saying?
I am absolutely 1,000% not in agreement with this. I don't know when it started, because I know growing up, we didn't all get trophies. Did you all get trophies, whether you were first place or 15th place?
No, but I've read some things on the internet that this seems to be like somehow one of these generational things that Gen Xers in particular,
and Gen Zers,
are pointing the finger at millennials and saying, you know, you entitled, soft millennials. But you know what? It's not the millennials and the post-millennials' fault. They're not the ones clamoring for the participation trip. They were the recipients.
Yeah, we were the ones making the rules.
Yes, it is the Gen X and even the baby boomers who decided that, you know,
give me a break.
Everybody must be rewarded for showing up. But again, I think that devalues hard work. Just showing up, I mean, yeah, there's that saying 90% of life is showing up.
Don't want to hurt feelings, Ruben. Wah.
Man, you are hard, Libby. You are hard. I will say this. Isn't the participation trophy, the uniform, the teammates, the organized events, the participating in the sport, isn't that the participation trophy? And then if you in some way excel, there would be something additional. So when I was growing up, right, we didn't get participation trophies. I had a couple of all-star teams, a couple of first place, so I had maybe four or five trophies total, and those were treasured.
Yeah.
You know, they were on. So my child now is... plays three different sports, and he's played them for several years. He's got an entire bookcase of these junk participation trophies that he doesn't care about, that are just shoved in a corner. Meanwhile, he's got a couple of first place and other awards, and those are treasured on his nightstand. Mm-hmm. The difference is obvious there. Like, even this, when he got that first participation trophy when he was five for AYSO soccer or something, it was a big deal. But once he got two or three of them and he realized everybody was getting them and you get them every year, whether you were good or not, whether you cared or not, whether you even made all the game, it doesn't matter, you're getting one, he lost interest
in it. Well, these kids now, I mean, at this age, are well aware of how many wins and how many losses they have. It doesn't even seem right to them. If they're 0-10, they're like, what the hell is this? I mean, even... Yes, there are those entitled ones that are like, oh, yeah, well, where's my – they don't give out trophies now in soccer. They give out little mini soccer balls. But, I mean, what a waste of money. I mean, they're not even official size. Like, you can't even play with them.
Here's another thing that's to be considered. Yes, so when you used to – so let's say a baseball league, you would have 9 or 12, whatever, how many you were on the team, trophies for the first place team.
Right.
Now you've got 12 trophies times every team.
Yes.
You know, you're spending – so much more now on trophies, and here's what the result of that. The trophies are lame. They're plastic.
Yes.
They break off. The kid, you know, my trophies had like a marble base, and they had, you know, like they were, parts of them were metal, and they were substantial.
Let's put that money towards uniforms.
Oh.
Or, you know, I mean, that extra money that we're paying, thousands of dollars.
All right, listeners, let me leave you with this rhetorical question about participation trophies. Are we all winners? Are only those who win actually winners when it comes to trophies, right? Thought of the day. Ruminate on that, Coastsiders. We'll be back next Friday at 9 a.m. This is Ruben Truthmaker with Livy Streetwise. The other dude should be back with us next week. if he can find his way home from Rawlins, Wyoming. Just take the 80, other dude. Just take the 80. Okay, we'll be back next week. We've had Cody Silvera on today with Birdman Bats. Thank you so much, Coastsiders. We'll talk to you next week.
Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.